What's going on, everybody? Happy Friday. Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets powered by FTN right here on Game Plus Network. Chris Meany here with you. Hopefully everybody's having a fantastic Friday, doing a lot better than any Broncos fan, I suppose, here this morning. It's rough. It's rough in Denver. It is rough in Denver. A very tough loss last night for the Broncos and another snooze fest when it comes to this offense in Denver. Absolutely atrocious. It was tough to watch last night. That may have been one of the worst sporting events I've ever seen in my life. Ever. A live look. I mean, this is what we said a couple weeks ago with Russell Wilson. I said on this show that I would rather start Trevor Lawrence moving forward than Russell Wilson. Last week was a get-right spot for him against the Raiders. The Colts haven't been able to stop anybody all year. Russell Wilson, the Broncos offense, looks like trash. It is not great. Oh, my goodness. I don't know what they were thinking last night. Like, with Nathaniel Hackett, there's a couple of things you could say, right? Nathaniel Hackett, rookie head coach, definitely looks like a rookie head coach. He played conservative in week one, went for that field goal. And then yesterday, you know, they started to move the ball down the field, right? They did. On that final drive where Russ threw that pick, they were running the rock well with Gordon and Boone. They moved up the field. They got the first down with Sutton. They looked like they were setting themselves up in position to kick another field goal up, go up by six, and then just, you know, the defense was playing awesome all game, and Matt Ryan couldn't really do a whole lot there. And then they decided to, I don't know, is that on Russ? Is that on Hackett? Like, what was that play call with the pass in the end zone? It reminded me of the Super Bowl with Russ and throwing when they should have just ran, and it does not look good. You know, at least Cortland Sutton is a guy that we've talked about a lot on the show. We got his receiving yard prop, and he said his receiving yard prop, I think, in every game but one. He's been very consistent inside this offense. But other than that, I mean, this is not good at all. I don't know how it's going to turn around. Like, Russell Wilson he's throwing it to guys that are nowhere near him. He's not on the same page with any of his wide receivers. You know, Cortland Sutton, there's a couple times too, like is Sutton running the wrong route, or does Russ think he's running a certain way? Is it on Russ? I think a lot of it is on Russ and it's on Hackett, and there's not a rapport. And then at the end of the game, you know, when they went for it, and I like the aggressiveness from Hackett. It seems like there was still some uncertainty there, you know, with the play call. You kick that field goal, you tie the game. There's 2.5 minutes left on the clock. You probably don't get the ball back. You tie. You're going for the win. You have Russell Wilson. This is what everybody was all over Nathaniel Hackett week one when he wasn't aggressive, right? You paid $245 million, 8 years for Russell Wilson. My goodness, yikes. And you know, you weren't aggressive with him when they could have extended the drive potentially and kicked that field goal. But yesterday, you know, that play call, you kind of forced it into Russ, and Stephon Gilmore made a play. He made a couple nice plays yesterday, actually, kind of turned back the clock, Gilmore. But you see KJ Hamler, who's wide open. It's fine to miss a wide open wide receiver, but my whole thing with yesterday was his reaction. KJ Hamler's reaction after that play, it was hands in the air, I'm wide open, helmet down on the ground. He smashed it 3 or 4 times, and that to me is just, it's a new quarterback, it's a new head coach. There's clearly, you know, we're seeing it on the field, that just the disconnect. There has to be a disconnect inside that locker room as well for a guy like KJ Hamler to have a big freak out like that. I know that they're frustrated that they gave that game away. They should have really won that game despite the offense looking as brutal as it did. But man, the disconnect, and Russ comes in all like, let's ride. You know, he's got his shades on all the time, and, you know, $245 million. Like, he's supposed to be a difference maker here for the Broncos. And yet this is a Denver team, I think, that's more questions surrounding quarterback position since, you know, Peyton Manning, you know, won that chip for them. Russ looks really bad. He doesn't look confident. He's not accurate with his ball. He's not running around as much. He ran a little bit yesterday, probably should have ran a little bit more. But man, it is not good at all in Denver. Colts find a way to win. I don't know how, but they found a way to win. One thing I want to say, my biggest takeaway from the entire game, it's Alex Pierce season. He's here. Week one, 2 red zone targets. One was a bad drop, one he didn't get. Week 2 didn't play through a concussion. And the last 3 weeks, 20 targets, 15 grabs, 222 yards. We saw Patrick Surtain, who's a really strong corner in the league. You move away from Michael Pittman to Alec Pierce here in the second half of that game last night because Pierce was just torching him. He had 8 catches for 81 yards and 9 targets, and he had 4 catches for 80 yards last week as well. We had that receiving yard prop on this show on Wednesday, over 33.5. hit over 3.5 grabs, plus 160 in the bet tracker. We've talked a lot about this kid preseason, one of my favorite wide receivers to draft, and it's starting to happen, right? He was on the field two wide receiver sets in preseason. Paris Campbell can't really stay healthy. Got a couple nice moves from him yesterday, but Alec Pierce got more upside. There's not really a guy inside this offense that can stretch the field. I think he's one of them. When they can get Taylor back and they're running the rock, and moving the ball consistently, maybe Pierce, can stretch the field over the top of the defense because he does have that ability. He's just a big body wide receiver, and I like him. Try to tell people on the show to grab him where they can, and he's going to be a hot waiver wire pickup. He's going to be in top rankings across the board. His ownership is 8% in Yahoo. So hopefully you have him, and maybe we can start to think about starting him in our fantasy rosters. He was just a stash, right? Him and Nico Collins were like two stashes for me. And these are guys that I think are trending up in the right direction. I think that's it for me for that game last night. It was just really tough to watch. That's it. Hopefully, Nyheim Hines is okay. That was a scary incident. Concussions have been obviously a big part of the NFL lately. And I believe it was like the third play he went down and he tried to get up and he was really wobbly and he was ruled out the rest of the game, which is probably, certainly a good thing. We hope for him to come back. Deion looked pretty good running the ball. If Taylor's not back, he's got a longer week here to get ready. We'll see, right? Long ways away from next week, a Colts game, but keep an eye on him. Mike Boone also looked pretty good. I thought Gordon had a decent game. Like, he wasn't really running between the tackles. He was catching a few passes, which I expect him to do. His receiving yard prop we had in the tracker at 12.5. If it's hanging around 12.5, 14.5 next week, Javonte's not going to be with this team, he's somebody to take a look at. He's still going to catch a couple passes, but Boone looked pretty good. I'm not going to lie. Like, I said last week that he's just really just an average back, and Latavius didn't touch the field. He was signed on a short week and we could see a little bit more, but I think Boone earned himself a few more touches. That was a bit of a takeaway for me as well, getting a few more touches in there. Deesh chimes in with Michael Pittman. Yeah. I mean, he was always a wide receiver too anyways. For me, I know that he was going pretty aggressively towards the start of the season, closer to it. I think he was getting drafted as like a, sometimes wide receiver 10 or 11 or 12. That's a little high. I had him in the 17, 18 range yesterday, just because of Surtain. I think when he plays, he's a wide receiver too. He's upside to be a one. He's going to get a lot of the targets still. He's still the go-to guy for Matt Ryan in this offense. But when there's a top corner, Pittman is a big body wide receiver that can go up and get it. He's not like a terrific route runner. He's not going to really stretch the field. I think Alec Pierce is certainly interesting, especially when there's a top corner that's going to pay attention to Pittman like that we saw last night. But I don't think there's any reason to be concerned about Pittman. He would be a buy low candidate for me moving forward, but it's tough, right? Ryan is kind of a shell of himself and can't move around, and Wilson looked horrible. Ryan was brutal. Time to retire. Wow. Retire just like that. I don't know. I'm definitely starting in fantasy. We got a break. We have Pete Jensen, the great Pete Jensen from NHL.com joining us here. Today, we're going to break and do a little bit more football talk. Pete is hanging by. We'll probably get to him in about 15 minutes or so. It's NHL season. NHL season today. The season begins. It's underway. Of course, we have the fantasy hockey package if you're looking to be part of the FTN family throughout the season. Still, drafts are happening. If you draft today in Yahoo and ESPN, you just missed the first week or so of the season, and we'll begin on October 17th. So you still have some time to draft. Still have a good sample of a couple weeks of hockey to look at, line movement and things like that. But rankings, projection, I don't really actually have too many in terms of numbers and projections, but I got rankings, sleepers, busts, tons of articles, best ball content. It's all over there at ftnfantasy.com. You can use the promo code Meanie, save yourself 20%. You're going to have the NHL Discord, and you're going to have weekly waiver wire articles as well throughout the season. So lots of good stuff, and you can use the promo code Meanie if you want to be part of the NHL betting family as well. We have Preds and Sharks here today, happening very, very soon. And then tomorrow, and then North America schedule begins on Tuesday. But if you want to be part of that betting family as well, use that promo code Meanie. Over 200 units won in the NHL over the past couple of seasons. So that's hopefully we can continue to roll there and have picks in the bet tracker, futures and things like that. And I'll have some props on the show as well. It is hockey day. We'll take a quick break and we'll be back in a couple. Hang tight. Welcome back in. So Pete is hanging on the next block towards the end of the show. Do some NHL props with you guys and some NFL props. It's also baseball season. I've said so many times, like, now is really October. It does kind of smack you in the face. See some hockey fans in here in the house, and that's great. But you know, today we have MLB playoffs, we have hockey, we have NFL stuff, you know, college basketball soon. We have college football stuff over at our FTN Network YouTube page. The Prize Picks show coming at you often every day, really, now that we have NHL and NBA. We're gonna have, you know, some football on Mondays and Thursdays and Fridays into the week, and college football on Friday. We'll have some college basketball stuff, NHL, MLB, NBA. It's all here, it's all happening. You know, we have a game underway now, Cleveland and Tampa. Didn't get a chance to really dive into, you know, series odds, and we did talk World Series. I still like the Astros, unfortunately. It doesn't make me feel too good, but I like the Astros. I like their hitting. You know, they're patient at the plate. They make contact. They don't strike out a lot. They take their walks. They got a lot of experience up and down that lineup. And plus, their staff is pretty solid as well. Like, Verlander's had a really nice season. And they got some other guys in that rotation. That is, Framber Valdez had like a really nice season this year. And some nice, you know, arms in the bullpen as well. I hope we don't see Dodgers and Astros in the World Series. I really don't want to see it. I root for the Jays. Like, they're not my squad. You know, of course, north of the border here, I'd like to see them get by Seattle. But I actually think that the Mariners will win the series. I like their staff more. I like their bullpen more. Certainly the Jays have a really good offense, maybe top three in the bigs. You know, we take Dodgers one. You can make the case for the Jays at two. I still like the Astros, the Yankees, the Cardinals are underrated offensively as well. But I think ultimately it will come down to pitching. So that's really all I have to say about that. For baseball, I think the Mets win the series against the Padres. I like the Mets today. I like Max Scherzer on the hill at 5.5 strikeouts. I think, you know, it's Scherzer season playoffs, right? This guy's going to just give them everything he has, especially at this point of his career. We've seen that multiple times from him in the playoffs, battling through things and pitching still like an absolute monster. And I actually like the Jays to win today with Alek Manoah on the bump, right? Get that first win today. Good pitching matchup with Castillo and Manoah, but I think ultimately we'll see, you know, Seattle, once they get into their deeper rotation, right, with Kirby and Ray. I think it's a bit of a mismatch in terms of staff, but I think the Jays do get it done today, and I like the Mets to get it done here with a Max Scherzer strikeout prop. I also like St. Louis. I like them against lefties. They're a really good hitting team against lefties. You got Quintana on the bump for the Cardinals. Do I got that right? Am I all over the place? Am I on the bats here today? We have I like the Phillies. Sorry. I like the Phillies, and we have Quintana on the bump for St. Louis. That's right. The Phillies are a good hit. They're actually both teams are really good against lefties. But I wasn't even going to really talk baseball with you guys, but I got sidetracked here because it's an exciting time, right, to be a sports fan. But I like the Phillies today with Wheeler on the bump. Good hitting team against lefties with Quintana on the hill for St. Louis. But I do like the Cards to win that series overall. If you wanted to get in on a series price, maybe risk it. Wait for today. If the Phillies can get up one game, then you can get in. But of course, there certainly is some risk in that, taking them after they already lose one. See some guys in the house. Rankap in the house, riding Yossi, Matt Duchene. Absolutely. For sure. Like both. Daily Handle agreed. Thinks he likes the Mariners. Jays pitching is not good enough. But let's root for the Jays. It's a fun story in Seattle, though. But let's root for the Jays. Okay, NFL picks. I'll do some props a little bit later on. You guys have any starter sit questions? We can get to them. I'm seeing some things roll through. Kyle Pitts is not going to play this week. I mean, I'd probably just save yourself. But you could just roll out another tight end. I know you probably missed out on some of the guys like Everett and Higby and Njoku. Robert Tonyan would be an option for me. Conklin would be an option for me. Those are two guys I would take a look at. You know, we could dig a little bit deeper if you are a Pitts. If any Pitts owners are here wondering what to do, hopefully you just have somebody else, you know, as a backup because you're a little bit concerned. But maybe you save yourself the frustration of rolling him out, not doing anything. I could see some Tyler Allgeier catches out of the backfield this week with no Pitts in a tough spot against the Bucs. This is what I'm thinking for sides. We got a few against the spreads picks here, and then against the spread, and then money line and over unders. I try to give you guys like the money line. Obviously, there's some massive favorites on the board here. This week, I mean, the Bills are minus 14 point favorites. We have the Packers at 7.5, which I'm comfortable with at 7.5. I don't, you know, last week, 10.5 against the Pats kind of hung around. I just don't see the Giants having a lot of success moving the football here. The plan will be to stack the box. Saquon, you know, tops his receiving yard prop. I think we have it in the tracker at 24. I believe it's 27.5 now. He's probably going to touch the ball like 30 times in this game, but Packers defense been playing good. Giants been struggling against the run. You got two really good running backs here in Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon, who I both, I think, over their rushing yard props. They're hovering around the mid 50s. I think we'll see both guys, you know, Green Bay's been playing at a bit of a slower pace and running the rock. I like Dubs to continue. Romeo Dubs, his receiving yards at 44.5. He's got back-to-back games, I think, with 8 targets, and he's got back-to-back games of the touchdown as well. I think he's good for an anytime touchdown and then maybe an AJ Dillon anytime touchdown. But Packers, I think, will win this game. And there's just some other massive favorites here. Like the Bills are -835. The Vikings are -335. Of course, we have the Bucks at -435. We have the Jags at -315. This is like a lot of massive favorites. So I didn't want to give you something too juicy on the money line. The Chargers in Cleveland to beat the Browns -130. You know, look for Chubb to have a pretty good day. You know, the Chargers have struggled against the run now for, you know, since the start of last season and again to start this season. Chubb has his rushing air props at 90. He probably gets to 100, but, you know, give me Justin Herbert and the Chargers offense. And, you know, I don't know if we'll see Keenan Allen in there, but I like them and I like Tennessee. The Titans defense playing pretty good. We'll talk about Derrick Henry a little bit more, but something I said to start the season and something I've noticed over the past couple weeks, is that Henry's getting used in the passing game more so this year. No Treylon Burks in this contest, but I like the Titans defense and where they're at. And, you know, even though it is a game on the road against Carson Wentz, who has struggled lately, I'm going to take the Titans there. And you get them actually right now, I'm looking, you can get a -120 over at PointsBet. So even better there. And I like the Bengals and I like the over. Cincinnati and Baltimore, nobody's allowed more receiving yards this season, or passing yards rather, than the Baltimore Ravens. Last year, they had certainly some issues with injuries and things like that, and some of that is carried over into this season. But Joe Burrow, he's been really good on the road dating back to last year. He had over 900 passing yards in the 2 games against Baltimore last season. I think it's going to be a shootout. I think it's going to go over 48. Lamar's had his way with the Bengals as well, especially on the ground. He's going to be really hard to stop, of course. You know, Mark Andrews has been a beast. Look for Bateman to get back on track here. T. Higgins is a guy that I like in terms of catches and receiving yards. Joe Mixon has, you know, he's number one in terms of touches right there tied with Saquon, and he has the most opportunities out of any running back in the NFL that's carries plus targets. Now, he hasn't been efficient, but he's still getting a lot of looks. So I like him to touch the ball again, you know, 17 plus times, catches of the backfield, a few carries. Maybe he has a few red zone touches that he can convert this time into touchdowns. But I think it'll just be a lot of points scored in that game and in the game against the Raiders and Chiefs on Monday Night Football. You know, nobody's been able to stop Kansas City. It's crazy that the Colts beat the Chiefs. I still can't believe it. But if you watch that game, there were turnovers left, right, and center all over the place. Missed field goals, penalties, drop passes inside the end zone. It was just the Colts found a way to win that game. But for the most part, nobody's been able to stop Mahomes and company. And it's been a different offense, right? It's usually Kelce and Hill. And now, you know, he's spreading it around to different guys, which is, I don't know, maybe the offense is better, but the Raiders have had issues, you know, stopping teams. And I think we'll see Carr and Adams, you know, Waller bounce back. I like Adams and Kelce receiving yards. I just feel like Kansas City's probably scoring 28, 30 themselves. And I think the Raiders are good for 2 or 3 touchdowns. I actually think they'll probably cover the 7 there. That's a big spread. I didn't really touch on the left here. I think the Saints are overrated. You know, Geno's playing good football. You know, he's targeting his guys, unlike, you know, Russ. He's targeting his guys. You know, Lockett and DK are getting looks, getting targets. They've been productive to start the season. If you have them in fantasy, you know, you got to be pleasantly surprised of what you've seen so far. Rashad Penny looks pretty good. It's a tough matchup running the rock against the Saints. But Alvin Kamara, he says he's going to play. How effective is he going to be? Michael Thomas, you know, he's not going to be 100%. The Saints are struggling to stop, you know, quarterbacks and through the air. This is a really nice spot for Chris Olave to have a day. But 5.5 is a bit much. I think the Saints probably win the game, but I think it's closer to a field goal game. And this one here, Dallas, you know, the Cowboys defense has played really, really good. This is from our advanced defense team stats over at ftmfantasy.com. If you have the package, you can run through some of these statistics. I tell you, you can get lost in days. Yards per pass attempt. Number one in the NFL is Philly, 5.38. Number two is Dallas at 5.47. They have 15 sacks on the season, one behind the Eagles team high of 16. We just saw the offensive line in LA and how bad it looked, right? They're missing Whitworth. They lost their center. Stafford's got no time. He's getting rocked. In terms of another statistic that we have here is time until quarterback pressure. And number one, of course, the Philadelphia Eagles. Number two, Dallas Cowboys at 2.39. Philly's at 2.14. So they're getting pressure easily. on the quarterback. And I just talked about the offensive line and so many issues there. And then another statistic in the advanced defense team stats. This is advanced defense versus passing numbers I'm giving you guys. Passer rating against, number one, Buffalo at 64.7, Philly 68.4, and then Dallas at 71.2. I think their defense will do enough in this game to keep this contest close. So 5.5 is a little high. I would not be shocked if Dallas won this game, to be honest with you. The way that they are playing defense with Parsons, Cooper Rush has looked okay. He's looked just fine. And the Rams offense through the air hasn't been spectacular. They've been great against the run. You know, it's Dallas has been running a little bit more with Cooper Rush, and it's a good 1-2 punch there in the backfield. But I think we'll see the Cowboys keep that game close. So give me the 5.5 there. We'll get to some of those questions a little bit. Yes, you're definitely playing Pat Freiermuth. We'll get to some of those questions here. Last year, Higgins and Jamar, 200. Yeah, I mean, they went off. I think Burrow's going to have success. I think it's going to be a lot of scoring there in that game. We're going to break here. We're going to bring in Pete Jensen. We'll get back. I'll get some more football props, start and sit, and some NHL. But I want to have some hockey talk here with Mr. Pete Jensen. So hang on. He is going to be here in just a couple. Welcome back in Mean Streets Live on Game Plus Network. Chris Meanes, we're bringing the GOAT from NHL.com, Pete Jensen, Director, Senior Fantasy Editor over at NHL. Of course, you can check out NHL Fantasy on Ice. And I see the big smile on your face, big smile on my face, dude. NHL is finally here. A lot of off-season prep that you've done. I thank you so much for letting me be part of your NHL live draft. That was an absolute blast, man. That was so fun. And you had a heck of a team. Did you start with Matthews and Ovechkin? Is that how you started that draft, if I remember correctly? Two of the best goal scorers in the game?
I think it was Matthews, Ovechkin, Patrick Kane, Evander Kane. So you can put together nice teams out there like you did as well, Chris. And yeah, it was a blast having you on, and always fun having you on Fantasy on Ice whenever you have the time. And glad to return the favor here. I mean, we're dropping the puck here in a couple hours, right? With Sharks and Predators out in Czech Republic.
Absolutely. Yeah. Today and then tomorrow, I do believe that is 2 Eastern. So we're just a little bit away. So that game people watch on Game Plus probably already underway. So some hockey to talk about. But, you know, for those that are drafting in Yahoo and ESPN, it's a little bit different this year with, you know, the overseas game and then the 2 games, and then, you know, North America, the 2 games on Tuesday. I've noticed in Yahoo and ESPN leagues, if you're playing in head-to-head formats, if you draft tonight, I have some drafts tonight and this weekend, your season's not going to start till October 17th. So you actually get a little bit of a sample of some hockey, and you'll see some random players that have a great start to the week, and maybe they wouldn't be drafted last week and they'll be drafted this weekend or next weekend, things like that, which are always kind of fun to talk about. So maybe you can chat about some sleepers and stuff that you have, but you've been doing so, like, the work that you do over at NHL, man, it's fantastic. You're really taking care of everybody, you know, from a DFS standpoint all year. And at the start of the season, you know, with all the prep, division previews and sleepers and breakouts and busts and all that good stuff. Let's talk predictions. Like, who are some teams that maybe we can talk about the Metro? Like, who do you have coming out of the Metro? I found it really, really tough to pick a team coming out of the Metro. I love the Hurricanes. I landed on the Rangers because I think they have the strongest goalie in the division with Shesterkin, and I think maybe those kids can take the leap forward. But the Pens, it's like one more go for this group. I found it tough to call the Metro, man. And I think the Islanders will bounce back as well. Who do you like in that division?
I'm picking the Canes to win the Stanley Cup, but I feel like, you know, they always like fail in the playoffs when they get to the second or third round for some reason. So I wouldn't be surprised at all to see the Canes, even if they don't end up winning the cup, like win the President's Trophy or something like that, especially when you consider the offseason addition of Brent Burns and also Max Pacioretty, who they're projecting could join the team after his injury sometime around the midseason mark. So however good they're going to be without patches, they're going to take it to another level. And that's my thought with how they've kind of been unable to finish the job because of, you know, maybe Svechnikov not scoring those big goals that we think he's capable of, or even Sebastian Aho eventually kind of reaches a point where either he gets shut down or he doesn't have as much help around him. Last year, of course, they dealt with injuries. Freddie Anderson didn't play in the playoffs at all. He's in a contract year. this year, so some unfinished business for him. Also, Seth Jarvis, their great rookie last year, got injured in game seven. So it was just a number of different things why the Canes didn't get over the hump last year. But again, they also added veteran Paul Stastny. There's a lot riding in their favor this year. So whether it's for a division title, President's Trophy, Stanley Cup, I think the Canes have that chance to finally get over the hump this upcoming season. So hopefully that answers your question, but it's going to be a tough division without a doubt. The Rangers are excellent as well with their star power.
Yeah, they really are. And Igor, right? I mean, Igor is just fantastic. Yeah. I feel like the Hurricanes, their offense always dries up. But then when I was looking into last year, and I just double take right now, I mean, 278 goals for, and that was the most in the Metro. Like, they actually score goals, but that's my thing with them. It's like, where does the offense, you're right, the offense seems to dry up in the playoffs, and they go through stretches where they don't score any goals. But I like the Stastny addition, you know, for them. I'm sure they're hoping that Kotkaniemi can take that next step. And when, you know, Pat Sherdy comes back, he's still one of the best snipers in the league. So if they can, you know, I'm sure they'll be fine in the first few months without him. And then that's an added element, right? It's almost like getting somebody at the trade deadline down the stretch for your season. It'll be a nice get for them. Okay. So do you think the Islanders are a playoff squad this year?
I don't have them in. I actually have five teams in the Atlantic because I think that's the best division in the NHL. So that means either Pittsburgh or Washington's coming out. I have Washington out right now because they're going to rely heavily on Darcy Kemper, who I really like, but he does have an injury history, especially if he's going to be relied upon to play, right, 50, 55 games or something like that. They may be a tall task. Plus, they have injuries like Oshie got banged up the other day. Tom Wilson's going to miss the start of the season. Nicholas Backstrom, we don't know when he's going to come back. Hopefully, he does. But it is one of those situations where it's an if and when. He's an older player that has played a ton of games, and he's dealing with a pretty serious injury. So that's my concern. That's the tiebreaker right now for me. I like Pittsburgh going into the season because they're healthy right now over Washington. And the Islanders, I just don't think they have anywhere near the amount of offensive firepower as all those other teams in not only the Metro, but also the Atlantic, right? Yeah. With how Ottawa's on the upswing. Detroit looks a lot better this year. Toronto has the run and gun style. Tampa Bay is a juggernaut. Boston's going for it all once again, getting the band back together. So I just don't see the room for the New York Islanders to get to the playoffs this year. With all due respect to Ilya Sorokin, he's one of my favorite goalies in the league.
Yeah.
I don't like the skater group enough.
No, I'm with you on that. Okay, so you have Carolina, Pittsburgh, and New York, and I have those three as well. So I'm interested to see the fifth. I think you just kind of mentioned one of the most improved teams, not only in the Atlantic, but maybe in the NHL. So I assume you have Toronto, Florida, Tampa, and Boston. Do you have the Sens? Are the Sens a playoff team this year for you, Pete?
So I, with these predictions, I always try to look at like what could go wrong for different teams and what their floor is. And I'm just a little worried about the Maple Leafs. I know that everybody's prognosticating that they're going to win the division or win the cup this year. And I'm not trying to be a downer, but the goalie tandem might be one of the five worst goalie tandems in the league. They're already dealing with an injury to John Tavares. They lost Ilya Mikheyev, who was a stud for them in a second or third line role, mostly third line role, two-way player. They're already talking about maybe, you know, playing Mitch Marner on defense a little bit. There's a ton of pressure up there. It's just something where I have a bad feeling about it. And it's a bold prediction to say that a team like Ottawa or Detroit could get in over them. But honestly, fast forward a year or two, I see Toronto getting worse and worse each year, at least slightly. And I see those teams, you know, taking huge steps forward. So maybe it won't be this year. Maybe you could call me crazy, but like, I feel like there's going to be a changing of the guard happening in that division very, very soon. And even a team like Buffalo, you know, look at how Buffalo played last year down the stretch against the Maple Leafs. They owned them. They beat them like three times, you know, so. Yeah. And that was with Jack Campbell as the goaltender. And I like Jack Campbell a lot more than I like Matt Murray or Ilya Samsonov. So if you're wondering why I have the Maple Leafs out, I think I just answered.
Oh, you just have them straight out. Hey, man.
I do.
You know what? It's bold. I like it. but you bring up a lot of good points. I mean, if you go and look at Vegas odds, the Leafs are always going to be right there. I mean, they're a popular team. It's the hockey mecca. Right, exactly. You know, people are always going to bet them. So they're always going to have those type of odds. You look at projection models, you're always going to see the Leafs, you know, as cup favorites or cup or to win the division. It's rewind the tape from last year, the year before, the year before, the year before. Like, until you win four games in a playoff series, until you can show me with the same core, it's hard to feel confident about them actually making a run. I think their bottom six is worse. I think you brought up a good point there. And there's a lot of question marks in goal. I think Samsonov's a really decent buy low in terms of real life NHL standpoint. They bought low on this guy, a former first round pick. Maybe,
right,
you know, he could bring them something. But, you know, yeah, Murray's got two cups, but it's a long time ago that Murray won those two cups and he hasn't been able to stay healthy. I like it. It's very bold. Because the Ottawa Senators, they do have some holes defensively, but they should be able to keep pace with a lot of these teams, right? Not just in the Atlantic, but in the NHL, Pete. They got a good top six here.
Yeah, I mean, just look at the talent on some of these teams. Like, Ottawa might have the best top six in the league. They're going to have Thomas Chabot and Jake Sanderson on the back end that can score. Buffalo has, like, 8 to 10, 25 and under players. For our top 100 keeper league rankings, you could talk about the obvious ones like Owen Power, and then there's Jack Quinn, and there's JJ Paterka, who's you know, really underrated, and also guys like Dylan Cousins and Peyton Krebs that are, you know, high quality draft picks from recent years. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. The list goes on for Buffalo. I feel like Buffalo is another one of those teams. They're doing it from within, though. They didn't go out and make any offseason splashes, so you got to respect that. Even with their long playoff, you know, playoff appearance drought, what is it, 11 seasons? I mean, they're being patient and they're doing it the right way. And they have Rasmus Dahlin and Owen Power on the same blue line. So they're going to be really good as well in the future. But, and then even when you look at Detroit, like, Detroit has Mo Sider. I think he's one of the five best defensemen in the league. I have him in the top five for my Norris Trophy behind the top four big dogs. But yeah, I just think, like, Jacob Rana could be a 40, 45 goal scorer at his ceiling this year. They added Andrew Kopp. They added David Perron. They added Ville Husso, who was really good for the Blues last year. So look at all these teams improving. Even a team like Boston got better in the offseason with bringing Krejci back and Pavel Zaka and guys like that. So there's going to be a good team that misses the playoffs, I think, in the Atlantic. And it could be a team like Boston that has so many injuries, or it could be maybe on the bolder side, a team like Toronto.
And we're not expecting the Habs to be any good this year, but they will be better, right? They're improved as well. Their roster is much better. They're deeper down the middle. They're still going to be without, you know, Shea Weber's obviously in Vegas now long-term. They're going to be without Carey Price, but that roster is better too. So it is a much improved Atlantic division, you know, top to bottom for sure. Pete, hang on tight if you don't mind. We're going to do a quick break. Maybe we can it's a little bit of a preview of the West. You did say Carolina. I want to know who you think Carolina will play, and then maybe your sleeper or two. So think about a sleeper or two in the commercial break, and Pete will share a couple tidbits in case people are drafting this weekend. Hang tight. We'll be back in a couple. We're talking to Pete Jensen, the director and senior fantasy editor for NHL.com, also the host of NHL Fantasy on Ice podcast. You got a sub. It's free to sub. Check out two Twitter handles for you, NHL Jensen and NHL Fantasy on Ice. What is it? Yeah, just NHL Fantasy. So follow those two accounts. Great follows on IG as well. You're always doing some cool stuff with some polls and things that I always like taking part of. So keep up the good work over there, Pete. Let's switch our gears and talk West. I don't know. Is there a lot really to say? Is there any sort of Stanley Cup hangover potential in the Central? We know that the Avs are good, but they did lose some guys, right? Like Kadri and Burakovsky. It's a bit of a different top six. We'll see maybe some kids bump up in that, like Newhook, maybe a bit of a deeper role, but they're still loaded on the blue line. You mentioned Kemper is gone. I think a pretty good, you know, opportunity for Georgiev to maybe break out. And, you know, when Pavel Francouz, when he plays and he's on the ice, seems to be pretty decent at times. Like he's kind of run into some injury issues over the past couple of years, but it could be a decent little 1-2 punch if you wanted to take that direction in your fantasy hockey drafts. Maybe you get yourself a top 10 goalie and maybe you could ride with both Avs as goalie number 2 and 3. You get 45 wins out of those two and away you go. But is there anything that you would say, oh, the Avs are a cup hangover, maybe they don't win the division? I think we all expect them to make the playoffs.
Yeah, I fully still expect them to win the division. I still think they're the best team far and away in the Central this year, especially with St. Louis and Minnesota losing some key pieces in the offseason. St. Louis lost Perron. They lost Ville Husso, who went to the Red Wings. They both went to the Red Wings. The Minnesota Wild lost Cam Talbot, and they're going to rely on a heavy workload for an aging Marc-Andre Fleury, who we all love, but it's a shaky proposition. And then Kevin Fiala, I think, is going to do huge things with the LA Kings, and they're going to really miss him in their secondary scoring in Minnesota. So, yeah, for Colorado, if they need to lean on Pavel Francouz, you bring up a good point. The guy has a .921 save percentage in 57 career games. So he's dealt with a lot of injuries, but when he's healthy, he carried the torch nicely in the playoffs for them when Kemper was dealing with the eye injury. They'll miss Kemper. That's my biggest concern about them repeating. Like, is Georgiev going to be stable enough, consistent enough? He's looked a little shaky in the preseason, but it's still early. And I think he's still going to win 30, 35 games in his sleep if he stays healthy with the Avalanche fantasy-wise. And yeah, and I'm excited to see what like Alex Newhook can do, or Evan Rodriguez, or JT Compher in the number two center spot after they lost Nazem Kadri. So I do still have, I think the floor of the Avalanche, because of the division they play in, is to get to the Final Four this year. And after that, things will get really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, their defense, right? The defense is just so darn good. I was very impressed with Bowen Byron. Yeah, I was so impressed with Byron in the Stanley Cup Finals. I thought he was just, man, against the Lightning, he took his game up to another level, and he's just a kid, right? He's just a kid yet. He's not even scratched the surface. I don't want to say that he can get to a Makar level-like, but and he's going to be a guy that we're talking about as one of the better defensemen in the league. I hope that he can stay healthy. He's had a couple, you know, concussions. I hope that everything goes well for him, because he looks like a heck of a player in this league. I like the Rodriguez call, and I think Arturi Lehkonen is sneaky as well. And DFS, you know, looking for some shot props. And he's basically been a point-per-game guy with the Avs. He got power play time in Colorado. Couldn't sniff it in Montreal, but in Colorado, with all those stats, he could still, you know, he's still got time on the power play, open up maybe the season on that top line. And just a smart hockey player, you know, not a guy that will score you 30 goals, but I can get to 20 and, you know, contribute alongside Nate MacKinnon. So do you still have the Wild and Blues in the playoffs? Are those two teams that you expect to get there, or are you Dallas and or Nashville, or these teams that you, I mean, I know there's a lot of buzz about Winnipeg. I think they'll score a lot of goals and Hellebuck could bounce back, but I still think there's a lot of issues going on in Winnipeg. I think that this year, if it's bad, Pete, they may just blow it all up. I know they stripped Wheeler with the C. Wheeler, see you later. Shifley. I know they got great goal scorers in Connor and Ehlers, but just before we move on and get to the Pacific, who are the teams that you have in the playoffs here in the Central? Avs, who else?
So I'm going bold in this division too, because there are not many spots there for the taking. I think Nashville got better. They already have Saros and Josi and a great top line with guys like Duchesne and Forsberg, who are 40 goal scorers. They got the young flair with guys like Tomasino and Tolvanen and Tanner Janot, you know, adding Niederreiter, adding McDonough. I think they get better, and it allows them to, even if they regress a little bit offensively, they still have an elite goalie in Saros to lean back on. So I do have Nashville in. I also have Winnipeg in. And last year I was skeptical of the Blues, but their offense was just too good. I still think the Blues are probably, you know, maybe a little step ahead of the Wild. I'm a little worried about the Wild. The Wild are going to need big-time seasons from their rookies, Marco Rossi and Kalen Addison, to get back to the playoffs. That could very well happen. But when you look at that Pacific division, Chris, I think you would agree there are four or five teams out there in the Pacific that are knocking at the door of the playoffs and even cup contenders. Like, the Kings got better with Fiala. The Flames, I really like as a cup contender, and their chances of bouncing back and beating the Oilers if they play them again. The Oilers got Jack Campbell. So all these teams improved in the Pacific, and then Vegas and Vancouver as well. Like, I feel like there's a great playoff case for those teams. Absolutely. You could say about Vancouver's defense is shaky. I get it, but I liked how they played under Boudreau, and I think they'll make the playoffs over a full season with Bruce Boudreau. So yeah. So to answer your question, I'm a little harsh, like I was on Washington and Toronto out west. So I got St. Louis and Minnesota both out of the playoffs in favor of Nashville and Winnipeg and five teams in the Pacific.
Love it, man. I really like this Kings squad. We got a cup future 45-1. I think they're currently 30-1. A really strong team, 5-5. You mentioned Fiala. The addition of Fiala is going to be huge for that squad and the power play. And Drew Doughty was great until he suffered that injury as well. So I really like the Kings. Love the Flames, too. I think they're deeper down the middle. I think they're a better squad. You get Mackenzie Weegar there, another great defenseman to add to what they already have. And then Mikael Backlund, let's be honest, he's not a second-line center. You move him to a third-line center, you got Kadri as your second-line center, you're deeper down the middle, and you can go on one of those runs. You can maybe compete with the Oilers, who are also deep down the middle. Unfortunately, we have to get out of here. Just rapid fire. Who's the team that you have in the finals against the Hurricanes?
I have the Avalanche. I just think they're safer. Okay. But I'm giving full respect to what the Flames and the Oilers have done this offseason. I think they're going to be great futures plays and teams to really invest in because the Oilers, of course, this is the best team that they've fielded in the McDavid-Draisaitl era. And you just mentioned it about the Flames, like better on defense, better at second line center. That's the blueprint to winning the Stanley Cup. Right, Chris?
Strong, still strong in goal. I wish we had more time, Pete. I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule on opening night in the NHL to stop by. We definitely got to do this again. I'd be more than happy to join you. Check out Pete Jensen, NHL Jensen, NHL Fantasy. Check out the NHL Fantasy on Ice podcast as well. It's fantastic stuff. Pete, thank you so much. Enjoy the hockey this weekend. And we'll talk to you again soon, dude. We'll take a quick break. I get some NHL props and some NFL props for week 5 of the NFL season. See you, Pete. Hang tight, guys. Welcome back in. Pete Jensen's actually fantastic. He really is. He's like the nicest human in the world. He really knows his hockey, clearly. Kind of rolled through those divisions. I wish we had a little bit more time, but we got to keep on schedule here. I got a couple NHL props for you guys. If you're watching live on our FTN Network YouTube page, still some time to get in and get it done if you're watching on Game Plus, and this game will happen tomorrow as well. So, Tyler, if you don't mind checking these up for everybody so we can get after them. So Matt Duchene here at over 2.5 shots. This is a guy that had at least 3 shots in 11 of his final 14 regular season games. And even in the playoffs, you know, he had a couple games there with 4 shots. He had 3 goals and 4 points, 8 shots in those 4 games against the Avs, a very tough team. But, you know, a matchup last year against San Jose, one game he had 5 shots, another game he had 2 goals and 2 shots. So he was just stuck on 2. And then another game, he scored another goal and he had 5 shots. So he had 3 goals in 3 games against San Jose last year. He eclipsed the 2.5 shots in 2 of the 3. He was consistent down the stretch, shooting the puck a lot. He had a breakout campaign. I want to say breakout. He kind of turned back the clock a little bit and had a season kind of like his early days with the Avs, but he did have a career high 43 goals and 86 points. You have to go back into like 2013, 2012 to see the season that he had with the Avs, like 70 points. I think he can regress a little bit. But he's still a 30-goal scorer. He's still a volume shooter, getting top power play time. I got Mikael Granlund for a point here. He's plus money for an assist. I like that one as well. I didn't want to chuck too much at you guys, but it looks like Duchene, Granlund, and Forsberg is going to be they're going to be a line here today. So I expect that line to have a lot of success against a weak San Jose team. I think this is going to be one of the weaker teams in the NHL. I like the under on their overall point total. I think they just have a lot of issues. They lost Brent Burns. They're going to have a lot of issues defensively. And Roman Josi, you know, his shot prop is 2.5. It's pretty juiced, but he had 22 shots in 3 games against San Jose last year. He had one game with 10 shots. He had 6 total points. He had one game with 4 assists. He's minus 141 for a point here. You could take him for an assist if you wanted to. 2.5 is juiced, but if you can get some same game parlay action in there, you know, you can get the 2.5 and away you go. I put in, you know, obviously you have Duchene there for the goals. I just told you the 3 goals in 3 games. I put Hurdle. Meyer is probably most likely. Carlson kind of checks some boxes for me too. Timo Meyer, you're asking for 3.5 shots. It's a little bit juiced. This is a decent price here at plus 140 for Thomas Hurdle. He should center Timo Meyer today, and that's the way that it would go. And you know, a lot of these guys will be in my circle of trust for tomorrow's games as well if you're looking to get involved. So we'll take a quick break. One more break here, guys. We love it. We love all the support on this show. We're going to round out the show with some NFL props for week 5. Keep her locked. Be back in a couple. Welcome back in. A couple props. I got a ton, actually, in our FTN Bet Tracker. A friendly reminder today, the NFL betting show will come your way at 5 Eastern on our FTN Network YouTube page. Myself, Henry Ricciardi, and Kyle Murray. We're going to have a bunch of picks for you guys. But here's what I'm thinking in terms of props. Again, use that promo code MEANIE. Save yourself a little bit of cash here. But 66.5 for Christian Kirk. He's passed this number in 3 of 4. Last week, he only had 2 grabs for 60 yards. It was a really rainy game. It was a rainy game. It was a lot of rain in that game at the link. And there was a lot of drops from Kirk. He still had 9 targets in that game. He's among the leaders in target percentage. He's got a healthy A dot. He's got a ton of catches here over 20 plus yards. So he can, you know, get to this number on 2 or 3 grabs. Plus, I like the spot against the Texans. They're 7-point favorites here in Jacksonville. Derrick Henry, I talked about this in the offseason, over 12.5 receiving yards. His last 2 weeks, he's had 11 targets, 8 grabs, 91 yards. I think he's going to be used more in the passing game. No Treylon Burks. He just needs one catch, one screen play to this guy. Just good luck tackling him. Last year in a small sample, but he had the most targets and catches and receiving yards per game that he had ever had. So this is a trend that I think was starting last season that nobody's really talking about. So let's jump on that now. Deebo in 2 games with Jimmy. Jimmy just throws his way. 15 targets, 11 grabs, 180 yards in those 2 games. So over 54.5 here against Carolina. Miles Sanders, my guy, you know, 63.5. It's actually dropped down to 96 yards, 80 yards, $1.34 last year. Good offensive line, almost touchdown favorites. If they get up in the game, they haven't trailed in the second half of this season. They'll lean on Miles Sanders. And then Breece Hall, 16.5 receiving yards. He's got 17 targets in his last 2 games, got 8 grabs over that span. He's had at least 10 receiving yards in every game. He surpassed this number twice, but we are seeing this guy completely take over the backfield now with the New York Jets. He's starting to get more snaps and more snaps, on third down situations and passing situations. 27 targets and 15 grabs. I like the over 2.5 for Breece Hall as well. As my old buddy Gabe Moretti says, other than that, you're on your own. Let the winners be yours. Check out FTNbets.com. Enjoy the weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday. Cheers.